Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Hello out there in internet land. This is John Stanko, your host for Wake Up to Purpose. And have you missed me the last couple of days? Don't answer that question, because in all probability you have not. But I have not been doing a show the last couple of days, and the reason is that we vacated our home for a few days. The workers moved into our housing compound, our housing plan, and they are putting roofs on a new roof on every house. So it came our turn, and we have a big roof, and it was going to take a couple of days, and we are attached to the house next door, and it was going to take some time, obviously, to do there, so we thought this was a good time to vacate the premises. So I haven't been doing Facebook Live this week. I've been totally out of my schedule and out of sync, but I thought I need to get back today to doing some radio broadcasts, and today we have an outstanding show for you with my good friend and colleague Chris Tress, who is the president of Urban Youth Impact and also the pastor of Bow Down Church, both in West Palm Beach, Florida. I had just been visited the ministries before the pandemic occurred, and so I'm anxious to get an update and hear how things are going, but I have visited this ministry and the church for many years, and I just can't speak highly enough of what they have done, what God is doing in their midst. So in a minute, we're going to bring Pastor Chris on and let him talk to us about this dual role that he plays, the dual, unique dual ministry that goes on under one roof, and then talk to us about whatever else may be on his heart. And there's always a lot on his heart. He's a man of the word and man committed to ministry to the poor. But I know you're just going to enjoy him as much as I always do, and you're going to learn a lot. Well, as I said, I may be out of my normal routine, but so is the whole world out of their normal routine. And I've talked with people in Kenya and other places, and there's just so much uncertainty, so many questions that people have, more questions than answers, and so and who knows what the future brings as economies and states and nations try to gear back up. It's going to just be a day-to-day process for us to observe and see. But of course, we, as I have done every show, we start out with reading Psalm 91. This is not a magic incantation. This is an affirmation and a statement of our trust and our faith in the Lord. And as I have been saying all throughout these 8 weeks, I'm trusting the Lord for health. If I get sick, I trust Him for healing. If I succumb to the sickness, I trust Him for salvation. So it's all about faith. We live a life of faith. And I've said also that we should not be doing foolish things at the same time, the things that we have to do. That is where we put our trust in the Lord. And my God is bigger than any virus, yet this is a very serious time, and we are all reminded of our human frailty, that an invisible enemy such as this virus can bring the whole world to its knees. But our God is a big God, and He is protecting His people. And so we want to read Psalm 91 from a position of strength, a position of, as I said, an affirmation, but also a declaration of what it is that we believe about God in times of trouble. I'm going to read again today from the 21st century King James Version, the KJ21. Almost sounds like a virus itself, but it's not. And let's go ahead and read Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor of the destruction that layeth waste at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under foot. Because He hath set His love upon me, saith the Lord, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Well, true words, and we've needed this for medical reasons, for physical protection. We're going to also need it for economic reasons, I believe, but many stories I've heard of how God is providing for His people in the midst of these troubled times, and He will continue to do that again. So without further ado, let me go ahead and bring my friend on, Chris Tress. There you are. Chris, welcome to Wake Up to Purpose.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, John. Thanks for having me. It's good to be with
you.
Yeah,
it's good. Yeah, it's good to have you, and you and I may have gone to the last NBA game that there may ever be. We were in Miami the night that, I think it was March the 11th, the night that they canceled the season, and we drove home wondering what was going to happen, and little did we know what was ahead of us, isn't that for sure?
Right.
Yeah. So
that was crazy.
Yeah, so now let's go ahead and why don't we start? You give our listeners an overview of both of the ministries that you are involved in, then we'll get into how this pandemic has impacted them both and your role. But just take all the time you need to talk about Urban Youth Impact and Bow Down Church, whatever order, whatever you want to say, just take your time and tell us about those two entities.
Okay, yeah. Well, I started with Urban Youth Impact back in 1998 as a volunteer. And at that time, it was a very, very small ministry, just reaching out to teenage boys. And Bill Hobbs, who's the founder of Urban Youth Impact, and he was a former golf professional, and he left that to follow Jesus, and he began working in the inner city of West Palm Beach. And basically started Urban Youth Impact. So I started to join him and learn from him, follow him. He's a mentor in my life, just really, really poured into me. And I've been with him ever since 1998. And so it's been an amazing journey, an amazing ride. Urban Youth has grown from just not boys, but girls as well. We still continue to do outreaches, Bible studies. We have an after-school program called the Leadership Academy, and it's one of the top-notch after-school programs in Palm Beach County. We usually get voted as the top one each year. For example, last year our kids started off being tested at the beginning of the year for reading at 14%. 14% could read on grade level, but by the end of the year, 75% of our children could read on grade level. And so we focus on the Lord, we focus on leadership, and we focus on literacy in our after-school program. We also have another program called SMART, where science meets art, where we give our children who come from inner city areas the opportunity to play the violin, play the piano, do art, photography, dance, different things like that. And so it's just a well-rounded program. We also have at Urban Youth Impact a job prep, job training. It's called Reframe, where we train up and raise up young people, helping them to do job interviews, helping them to build resumes, teaching them principles of how to be successful in life and work, and that's called Reframe. And we've been able to place a few hundred young people, teenagers, with jobs over the last number of years. So it's an amazing ministry. I've been excited to be a part of it. We reach out to probably around 500 youth on a weekly basis, and we have 38 full-time staff, and we're branching out into different locations. So we're really excited about the future. So that's kind of Urban Youth Impact. Bow Down. A little bit about Bow Down. Years ago, probably around 2010, Bill Hobbs, who, the founder, came to me and said, "Hey, Chris, I want you to plant a church." And I really wasn't a pastor or anything, but I said, "You know what, Bill, you're my boss. I better do what you say." And so we were having an issue with some of our local kids not connecting into the traditional African-American church. And so we kind of came up with a little bit of a different style of church. We called it Bow Down, just to keep it really, really simple. We kind of dressed down a little bit and got rid of some of the things that our kids weren't really tracking with. And so that began, around 2010, 2009. So we've been going ever since. And so we have over 200 people coming on a weekly basis as far as members are concerned. And we have other things outside of that as well. We have a discipleship program. We've been able to do some housing programs in the community. And, number of different things there. So really exciting about what God has done. And, it's been an amazing ride.
Yeah, and we'll get into more of the, you know, the living in the community and the discipleship. And so, okay, so you've got, you know, lots of, you know, employees. You've got church staff. You've got daily after school or Monday through Friday. You've got all kinds of programs and responsibilities. And then March the 10th, March 11th, March the 12th happens. What's been your world like in both the nonprofit world and the church world since the days of the pandemic began?
Yeah, so the unfortunate thing for Urban Youth Impact was our big gala that we usually have, where we raise a big portion of our funding. We had to cancel that, and so not only did we lose money on the location, the food that we'd already bought and paid for, but all the lead up work to go into that. So we were in a really, really bad place. And so we lost a lot of money there. The following month was our golf tournament. So people come and fly in, and it's a big deal. And so both of those events combined, we usually raise about $500,000. And so we had to cancel both of them. Well, that's a huge percentage of our budget. And so we were looking at having to cut staff. We were looking at having to do a number of different things because we were expecting that money to hit. So that was that's been really, really hard. But we've shifted. We're actually this Saturday we are having an online gala. And so we've been preparing and filming and doing different things. So we're going to have a live auction. And we've been looking at this to hopefully recoup and recover some of the financial loss that we have that we've had. We've also, as far as ministry is concerned, obviously the kids can't come. And so what we've been able to do is to continue to interact with them, making sure if they do not have a computer or something, that we try to get that to them. We've been doing Zoom classrooms. We've been dropping off different books and curriculum and food and different things to the families. We even have a sidewalk, kind of the old school sidewalk Sunday school, if you will,
mm-hmm.
where we actually go to houses, visit the kids, keeping social distancing. But I mean, our staff has really just been amazing, and we've shifted, and we've got a high percentage of our children still connected, still invested in the ministry here at Urban Youth Impact. So,
mm-hmm.
Doing all the meetings via Zoom, and it's been different, but it's been fun, and we've just continued to move forward. We at Bow Down, we have a kind of a smaller church, and so that has been financially, we haven't seen any dips at all. Our church is really, really committed, and so we're thankful to God for that. The leaders have just stepped up, and so the ladies have their own Facebook women's page, and the men have their own Facebook page, and there's just been such great connection. Our church has house churches, which is a separate thing from Sunday morning. And so those house churches, they just got on Zoom. They didn't skip a beat. And what's neat is, and I was just talking with one of our church members, and she said, I feel more connected now to the ladies than I did back when church mm-hmm. was kind of normal. And so one of the things the women have been doing is that each of these ladies, they've been sharing their testimony. And it's funny, because my wife's laughing because the testimonies are getting longer and longer and longer. but the women they're crying, they're connecting. It's just been mm-hmm. a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. So the church is just it's growing. The people are growing. They're growing in connectivity. I've shifted to Facebook Live at nighttime, and I've been amazed by the amount of numbers of people who are tuning in
mm-hmm.
to not only live but watching it during the day as well.
Mm-hmm.
That it's continuing
mm-hmm.
to track numbers that are not normal for us as a small church. Usually
mm-hmm.
we'll get maybe 70. 80 views,
mm-hmm.
but now we're getting, upwards of 200 views, and
yeah.
and so that's neat to see. It's just amazing
yeah.
What God
yeah.
is doing through the internet. So,
yeah.
and I want to thank you, John, because you said the internet is the new Romans Road, and we need to get
mm-hmm.
on board with it. And if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have a Facebook. Because I've always been old school,
mm-hmm.
technology. People need
mm-hmm.
to come to church, and that was always my paradigm. But you really pushed me to doing Facebook, and without you doing that, I probably would have got on it. But you were the catalyst, okay? You
yeah.
were the catalyst. So hats off to you and your leadership, and you were head of the curve. So.
Yeah, yeah. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Chris Tress, who is the president of Urban Youth Impact and the pastor of Bow Down Church, both in West Palm Beach, Florida. And we've obviously had a pretty close relationship over the years. And next week we are going to have the founder, Bill Hobbs, on the show. But I figured I'd start with the current leader, not the one that's on the way out, but the one that's in there. That's the one I want to stay friends with. Chris, let me ask you the financial hit that Urban Youth has taken. Have you seen it being replenished, being refilled? Are you hoping? Obviously, the gala is going to do that. What have you seen in the area of finances for the ministry?
First of all, the donors that have been with us, that are committed to us, that love us, they have really, really stepped up in a big way. We did an emergency match. And we were able to have a base match of $250,000 from our donors. And that was surprising. That is one of our biggest matches. Actually, I think it is the biggest match we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And for that to happen during this time really shows you just the faith of the people of God stepping up. Because
mm-hmm.
we don't know what's going to happen, the economy. And so I've just been amazed. So So we are looking at finishing the year in the black. Now we're counting on this weekend that we're going to be able to raise some money and there'll be some nice donations. So but we really believe what we're projecting. We're gonna finish in the black. So I'm excited about that. So.
Yeah. And it does see there are many stories emerging of how God is providing for His people and His ministries and such miraculous and surprising. I mean, it really shouldn't be surprising because God said He would do it, but it just still,
right.
When it happens, it takes our breath away. And those are the best testimonies that we can possibly have. What's it like? What's it been like in Florida, in your area? How bad's it been? I think you even had somebody in the church that had the virus. Just talk to us about the general condition, attitude, and where things are at now as people try to emerge from this lockdown.
Yeah. So, yeah, we Raquel, who attends our church, she came down with COVID. And so she was in the hospital for like 3 weeks. And she was on a ventilator, and it did not look good. In fact, the prognosis was she was not going to make it. And our church really gathered, and we just started praying and interceding, praying Psalm 91 over her. We actually got the nurse to play worship music. And so when she, in part of her testimony, when she would come in and out of off the drugs and different things, mm-hmm. off of consciousness, she would hear worship music going, and she would just sing and worship. And so, but she was just released last week, and so we're just extremely thankful and praising God. But she's the only person I've been kind of that I know who has it, and the it seems to be just two different. Two camps. There's one camp that kind of doesn't care, living on the edge. Probably more the younger group. You think you're indefensible.
Indestructible.
You're not going to get it when you're young, you know. But then there's been the other camp that's been real serious and want to make sure we have protocols in place. And even as we're talking about coming back to work, making sure things are cleaned and masks and keeping a safe distance. So, anyway, that you kind of see that, on the internet as well, where it seems to be a few different camps there. So,
mm-hmm.
But all in all, I think it's been, I think our people are just excited. They're excited to get back to work, and we'll just see how
yeah.
it goes.
Yeah, no, I know you're working on a book that we hope to wrap up pretty soon. You tell so many stories in there, and I know you have so many more that you can tell. But talk to us about what your early days of getting involved in urban ministry, and I believe the story was you took somebody home and went into their house, and just how you went back out into the driveway, how it impacted you. Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so we were doing a football outreach at the park, and there was a young man that when Bill Hobbs gave the gospel presentation, he received Christ. And so Bill said, hey, go take him home to his mom, and let's talk to mom about him getting baptized and about the decision. And so I took him home, and when I went into the house, there was probably about 11 children, all different ages, kind of in the house and running wild, and I noticed there was no furniture in the house, and I said, "Hey, where's mom?" And they're like, "Well, we haven't seen mom in a few days." And I, "Where's dad?" "Well, we don't know." Come to find out, there was a number of different dads, and come to find out later, mom was a prostitute, also addicted to drugs, and so. When I walked out of that house, I kind of had a certain perception of things and what they were like, but it was a paradigm shifter for me. I was more of a, hey, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and that kind of mentality. And, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. So some biblical things that I believe. But when I walked out of that house, everything broke for me. And we say often, hey, seek to understand before being understood. You know, that's what mm-hmm. we teach our staff. And so mm-hmm. when I walked out into the driveway to get back into my car, I remember just really breaking, just getting emotional. And it was during this time I was just a volunteer. But at my workplace, they were asking me to go into management. And so I had that before me. But then I had this love for these kids in the inner city. And I knew if I took this management position, I wouldn't be able to serve in the inner city. And so as I'm sitting in that driveway in my car, just kind of broken, it was like a still small voice that all of a sudden I knew which path I needed to take. I knew that God did not need me to be a manager, but what he was calling me to do was to lay down my life for these precious children. And I just remember that fork in the road. I just knew I needed to take this route. And once I made that decision, a few months later, I moved into the inner city. And God continued to break my heart, and he's still continuing to do that. So that was kind of a big moment for me.
Now, you tell the story in the book, too, and you mentioned Bill Hobbs, your mentor, and the brother who is, you know, who started Urban Youth and has opened so many doors for all of us. You tell the story that you had some responsibilities, but then you, in the early days, you had some car trouble. Tell us about that story.
Yeah, so my car kept breaking down, and I was supposed to, you know, run the football outreach, and I just would call. I called him, and there was a couple of times where, hey, I can't make it. Car breakdown again. Hey, I can't make it. And then, you know, the next time, hey, I can't make it. And finally he got on the phone. You know, he said to me on the phone, he says, look, you made a commitment to these kids. And so how important is your word? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. You made a commitment to these kids. Figure out how to get here. And that was kind of it. And after I got past, that was pretty tough. I decided, you know what, I'm going to let my yes be yes. And so I got my bike and I drove probably about 20 miles from where I lived down to the football place where we played football to fulfill my commitment. And that was a big deal for me because my whole life I always had things where I would quit or I would give up, you know. And my dad died when I was 2 years old, and so when I didn't like baseball, my mom would just let me quit. And and so Bill came into my life, and he really kicked my butt and really challenged me on being a person of commitment, that, hey, if you say yes, let's show up and let's let our yes be yes. And so big defining moment for me. And I'm
yeah,
thankful
great
for
story. And Bill loves to tell that story, too. And so he gets a kick out of it. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Chris Tress, who is the president of Urban Youth Impact and also the pastor of Bow Down Church in West Palm Beach. Chris, you alluded to the fact that you moved into the neighborhood where you were called to minister. Talk to us about what was involved in that, and just take us as far as you want to take us, because that pattern has been repeated over and over again in not only in your life, but in the lives of many who have joined you to work with the poor that in your area. So talk to us about this call to live in the urban community.
Sure. Well, I was reading John chapter 1, verse 14, and obviously in context, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But then you get down to 1:14, where it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And in that passage, it really just kind of dawned on me that Jesus came into our situation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so during that time, I really felt a call to I was living in the suburbs at the time, and there was a number of different times where I would talk to these kids in the inner city, and they would respond back, well, you don't know what it's like. You don't live here. You don't know what it's like living down here. And I really felt burdened. You know what? If I'm going to proclaim this message, I believe Jesus is calling me to live with the people that he's calling me to serve. And so we moved into to a house, and it's me and three other guys. We were all single. We called it the Impact House. And, yeah, we began living in the community. Now, the community at the time was a pretty rough area. It actually still is. At the time when we moved in, there were 46 registered sexual predators within 1 mile of the front door where we lived. There's you know, high crime and murder and just different things like that, a typical inner city area. Yeah, so that was a big step of faith, but God was leading it. And I think what it does and it expresses is that, this isn't something that we take lightly, because most of the times people are trying to move their family out of the inner city, right? I talk to kids all the time. Yeah, I want to make it so I can move my family out, you know. But here's this guy, he's moving in. And so it's a statement that, hey, we really do believe what we're proclaiming, and we want to know and we want to understand what it's like, and we want to walk with you because we do love you. We do care about you, and we're here to serve. You know, we're here to serve. We're here to join you in this struggle. I want to know and understand the fear that's felt when I walk down the street at times. Just the other day, I was on a prayer walk, and I was talking to some guys on the corner, and every time a car drove by, you know, you think in the back of your mind, this could be a drive-by, and my back's facing Tamron. My back is facing that, you know, and so that fear, you know, what is it like to live in that? And so moving into the community really has opened a lot of doors, and it's. You know, it builds a platform for us as we share this gospel. We really do believe in what we are proclaiming to you, and we're in this together. So,
Now you're still living in the neighborhood, aren't you? Your family situation has changed, but your residence still remains the same. Tell us about that journey.
Yeah, so my beautiful wife, Colleen, we met at Urban Youth Impact, and she, you know, one of her prayers was, God, I don't want to marry Chris because I don't want to be poor, and I do not want to live in the inner city. And she jokes about that. You know what? She has been, God has moved in her life in an amazing way, and she just, she is full of love. She's full of affection, and she's just amazing. So we have two children, Christopher and Riley. Riley, she is 14 years old. Christopher's 15 years old. And yeah, so we're still living in the community now, and this is what we call, this is our home, you know. This is our home, so.
But then you're not the only ones living there. Hasn't there been a ministry philosophy or a ministry strategy to have others join you there?
Correct, yeah. So as we've continued to pray and ask God, okay, God, how can we serve? How can we love? One of the things that was put on our heart is that we need shepherds that will live on each street, that will really lay their lives down for the kids in this community. So, for example, Stephen Hamilton, who is in one of our houses, him and his wife Sharon, they live on a street, and there were 34 when they moved on. There were 34 kids on that street, and there was not one married couple on that street. And so when he moved in with his wife Sharon and their three kids, you know, that's the first married couple on the street. And so that's modeling. That's an example. And so we want to have a house on every single street in the inner city with people that are really seeking the kingdom first, and they want to shepherd these children in this community and become leaders. And raise up a next generation of leaders. And so we've been able to purchase a number of homes within the community, and we have a three-pronged approach in purchasing the homes. The first approach is we have staff who move into our homes, and they live there rent-free, but they serve the community. And so that's one of the things that we do. The other thing that we do is we have a discipleship program. And so we have young people that are from the community that do the discipleship program, but we also have people from around the nation that that move in and do the discipleship program. And so that's the second purpose of the homes. And the third purpose is indigenous leaders. We want to help them own their own home. And so we provide an interest-free loan where they rent to own, and then they become a homeowner. And it's what Urban Youth Impact has been doing for a long time. The mission is love, equip, and empower. And so we really, really want to empower some of our leaders to become homeowners. The last one that we just did was about 6 months ago. John Lewis, we call him JJ, he's been in Urban Youth Impact since he was out of diapers. He's now married to a young lady named Cassie, has two children, but he became the first homeowner in his entire family. And so we're ecstatic about being able to come alongside of him because once you're a homeowner, hey, this is my street, this is my block, this is my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You're not moving and renting from place to place. It brings stability. And also, you know, JJ was born and raised on Tamron, so now he's actually living as an example, as the light of the world, as a city on a hill, within his community. And so, those are kind of the purposes behind the homes. Now, the amazing thing about God is when he gives you a vision, sometimes you think you have to do it all. And, I'm so thankful that we don't. And so there have been probably about five or six people that attend our church that have intentionally moved into the community because they believe in the mission. And so we're not buying the homes as a ministry like we started doing. They are doing it of their own accord and purchasing a home and joining in what God is doing. So that's been amazing to see as well, and to see God move and to bless what we're doing just brings joy to my heart.
Yeah, as well it should, and I'm sure it brings joy to the heart of God. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Chris Tress, who is the president of Urban Youth Impact and also the pastor of Bow Down Church, both located in West Palm Beach, Florida. Chris, you mentioned the discipleship program, and I want to make sure you know, our listeners hear more about that because I think it's one of the finest I've ever encountered. And you mentioned just a house and people living there, but go a little more deeply into the reasoning behind and the actual program and some of the things you're trying to accomplish there.
Sure. Well, one of the things that we felt called to do is to have a place where kids from our community that might not be able to go to seminary, might not be afford to go to college, where they could get poured into, disciple, trained, and equipped. And so we've created this program. It's called Project 516. It's a 10-month program, and you move into our houses. It is a free program, but you have to be single. You have to have a GED or be a graduate of high school. And so you move into our homes. We take care of all your food, room, board, all of the staffing, everything for the year. It costs our ministry probably about $10,000 per person, but we go ahead and we pay everything. So there's no charge because we don't want to, you know, have funding be a reason for young people to not get poured into and discipled. And so that's a 10-month program, and it consists of memorizing Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. They memorize that, they journal it, and I also teach, you know, chapter by chapter through, verse by verse through that, so they can really have a grasp of the cultural context and also apply it to their life. They read about 15 books that we picked out, books from Dietrich Bonhoeffer to Bill Hobbs's book, My Longest Yard. So there's a number of books that we have them read. We do book reviews and different things like that. We do three levels of relationship and three levels of accountability, if you will. They have someone from our church that's over 50 that meets with them. They also have kind of a Paul-Timothy relationship where there is a staff member that is a Paul, and they would be the Timothy, and they would pour into them, and they meet with them on a weekly basis. And then you have the Paul-Barnabas, kind of the peer-to-peer relationship mm-hmm. going on. So those three things happen every single week. And so we're building community, we're building family. They also get up at 5 a.m. in the morning. They prayer walk through the inner city for an hour. That's the first thing they do. And so we prayer walk. They serve in our outreaches that we have. They serve at Urban Youth Impact. They serve at church. And so not only are they learning, but they're also serving at the same time. And so we also teach them through a number of different things. We just took them through John Wimber's power evangelism, where we're talking about, you know, how to wait for a word from the Lord when praying for people, and to begin to hear God and expect Him to speak, you know, when you're praying for somebody. So anyway, it's a exciting program that we have, and I've just seen it change so many young people's lives. The other thing that's in the program is that there is inner healing, where you get to work on different issues. Maybe a young person would have a father wound, or maybe there's mm-hmm. some trauma or abuse or some generational things. And we walk through in a private, confidential setting. We're walking through issues that they may have in their life, and we're just praying and pouring into them and asking God to bring healing and transformation. And we've seen young people have gender identity confusion and get healed of that and are married now. We've seen people that have had drug problems and pornography problems and all kinds mm-hmm. of different things and get completely free through this program. So I'm so excited about it. We asked the question years ago, okay, if Jesus lived here on Tamron Avenue and He was going to do ministry, what would that look like? And so Project 516 was the answer to that question, where we want it to look like Jesus, you know, walking with the 12 as much as possible. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, and just so Bill doesn't give us a hard time next week, his revised title is Urban Impact, Love, Equip, Empower of his book. His previous book was My Longest Drive, and they're both really good, but Urban Impact just tells is an update and tells a bit more of the story. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Chris Tress, who is the president of Urban Youth Impact and is also the pastor of Bow Down Church. You mentioned earlier, Chris, about locations. You have a magnificent complex or compound on West Australian there, as a North Australian, and but you've been branching out into other communities. What's your vision there?
So we really believe God has given us a unique vision where we want to be in every inner city pocket where the children who are the most at risk are. That's where we want to be. And because in these situations, a lot of times the schools are not the best schools. And sometimes the kids need help. Mm-hmm. In more affluent areas, you might not need an urban youth impact, but in the inner city areas, we believe you need an inner city impact. And so as we go into these areas, we look to partner with local churches that are going to adopt our children. And when we say adopt our children, we mean adopt kind of financially, but also will you send vans to pick them up and make sure they come to your youth group? Will you create a mentoring group out of your church? We're trying to call the local church to a higher standard of investment to these young people. And in areas where we can't find a church that will commit to that level to really, really love our kids, we're going to go ahead and plant churches where an urban youth impact in the church works side by side. Because if we do not reach these young people, they're unfortunately, they could potentially be another statistic. And so that's the heart. We're in a housing project right now called Stony Brook. And when we started there, there were 300 children under the age of 18 that lived in this complex. There was not one married couple in the whole complex, and there was only three dads on the registry. And so that is a bullseye for us. We have, unfortunately, one of our kids that were in our program was shot and killed in that complex just a few years ago. But that's where we want to be. The fire department is not allowed to come into that complex without the police escorting them. That's how this community sees Stony Brook. But we are in there pretty much every day of the week, loving the families there, loving the kids there, and that's where we want to be. So
yeah. What you've been doing Facebook Live, at least you were. You've taken a couple of days off as you're processing some things. What were you preaching about? What's your latest message from the pulpit?
Sure. So in the church on Sunday, we're going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. I feel like it's just a timely time where Paul was missing this group. He longed to see them face to face. He was with them like a mother and nursing her child and a father exhorting. So you just see this love there. But on the Facebook Live, the nightly things, I've been going through Psalm 23 in a series I called Abiding in the Good Shepherd. And just really talking about, man, if Jesus truly, truly is our shepherd, and we really believe that he is all that he says he is, we should walk content, completely content in him, not wanting, being able to rest if we're eating from his pastures and he's filling us with his water. And so it's just a great passage that brings a lot of comfort. And at these times where, you know, being in the shadow of death is not death, it's the shadow, but we follow this shepherd who's going to prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And so anyway, I don't want to, you know the passage, so I don't want to go through it all, but that's what we've been focusing in on Facebook Live, abiding in the Good Shepherd as a reality. Not just as a religious thing that we quote, but how can we really live this out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can just say to our listeners, I know Chris, he is truly a man of the word, and he has built his life and much of what he does on a not just a casual reading of the word, but a study of it, and so. I always listen very carefully to what he's saying because I know it's not he doesn't say it lightly. He has processed it and I know there is even more of that to come. Chris, about a year and a half ago, you took on the role of presidency of Urban Youth Impact while you were still pastor of Bow Down. So you've had two major job titles and roles. How's the last, and apart from the pandemic, which, you know, is an asterisk, how has that year and a half gone? What have you learned? What have you seen in carrying both of those roles?
Yeah, great question. Well, first of all, I've got the one thing that I've learned is I've got to let go of some stuff. I just couldn't keep doing everything that I was doing. And so Acts chapter 6 is a great passage where you've got to delegate and you have got to be focused on what God has called you to do. And so that's easier said than done. We know this stuff, you know, you hear people, you know, talk about it, but it's harder to do at times. And so in that process, God has exposed in me some control issues or things that if I, all right, what if it doesn't get done this way, Chris? Are you going to be okay with that? And they're not going to do it how you're going to do it. Are you okay with that? And so being able to release, being able to empower people, that's been a big aspect of it. Another aspect as well is, you know, my family time. I have had to set really, really clear boundaries with my family, shutting off my phone. I've actually, for the first time, I've had to just kind of put my phone down and discipline myself to only check my texts and phone calls at 1 o'clock p.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. And because I saw myself becoming a reactionary leader rather than someone that was kind of navigating and initiating things. I was seeing myself attached to my phone, attached to the different things pulling at me. And when that happens, you can't really look ahead. You can't really focus on the priorities that God has for you. And so those are, I mean, I have so many more things, but those are two things.
Whoops, I lose you. We lost connection or contact, so we'll just wait and see what happens here. This happens, and as I told you, my signal looks strong, but who knows? It's call dropped, so he'll call back. Anyway, As I was saying, I can't endorse this man and this ministry, and we'll talk to Bill Hobbs next week. I can't endorse them high enough, strongly enough for what they're doing. I think they are just on the cutting edge of how ministry needs to be done. You are all aware I've written a book, Changing the Way We Do Church, and I think Bow Down was doing those things before I ever wrote the book, before I even thought about it. So let's see, Chris, I think you're back. It's spinning. That's slow internet here where I am. There you go. So, Chris, welcome back.
Yeah,
drop me.
Yep.
No, yeah, it happens. We've got about 5 minutes. What's the future hold? What are some of the dreams and aspirations? And I know, again, the pandemic has kind of thrown hit the pause button here. But what are your hopes for the future and on for both the church and the ministry?
Yeah. So obviously, our church is. You know, it's really been hard getting a church up and running. It's a lot of work, especially kind of starting from scratch, if you will, and planting a church. But now that things are in order, we're really looking to plant more churches. And so I'm connected with a couple groups that do that. And so we're really talking about, man, how can we begin to plant other churches. So that's where we're going as far as the church is concerned. With Urban Youth Impact, we're adding a few things. We're adding a mentoring program where we're going to be hiring someone full-time because we want every child that's in our program to have a mentor. You know, hundreds of kids, you're never going to be able to hire 500 staff that can work with a kid one-on-one. But you know what? We will go into churches and we will recruit because what you do for one of the least of these, you do it for me. And so who's your one? We are going to be pitching that. We're going to be expanding that and really going deeper in our mission, which is love, equip, and empower these children to fulfill their God-given purpose. And so we want to love them in a deeper way. And we believe that's going to be through mentoring. Another thing that we're we're praying about and looking at is potentially starting in a school. Mm-hmm. And so we're just on the groundwork. We're trying to partner with a local school, a Christian school, that's been really, really successful in the area. And so we're working with them and having some real discussions on what that could look like, what the costs would be, and et cetera. And so because we see the difference when these children are with us after school for about 3 hours a day. But man, what if we had them all day long? Mm-hmm. Imagine what could happen. And so that's kind of the future of where we feel God, you know, God taking us. And again, like I said, there's other pockets and other areas of ministry that God is calling us into. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. We got about 2 minutes left, Chris. You have a chance to talk to churches about having a heart for the work that you're doing among the poor. What do you tell them?
Yeah, yeah. So Acts 1:8, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. I think America has inner cities in it because we've skipped over Samaria, and we haven't, and we go to the ends of the earth, but we can skip over the inner city at times. Nothing's wrong mm-hmm. with the ends of the earth. We need to go. It's part of it. But man, it can be uncomfortable, just like the Jews and the Samaritans. They didn't get along because they were different. And so it's our hope and our prayer that God would begin to raise up his church to think about multi-ethnic movement and what can we do with those who are in our neighborhoods that might have lack, that might have maybe not the opportunities that other neighborhoods would have, and really seeing that cross-cultural really multi-ethnic type of ministry. There's one culture, it's the kingdom culture, but mm-hmm. it's every tribe, every nation, every tongue, and so I really feel like that's what God has called us to do. And these things are not easy. In fact, they're really mm-hmm. really hard, mm-hmm. from Democrat to Republican to all of this stuff. So that takes a lot of work. It's much easier just hanging out in Jerusalem and Judea,
yeah.
you know, with our cousins, people that think like us and talk like us. But Samaria, it's a little bit harder, and it's going to take more work. But I believe God's called us to do that. So that's my passion. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Well, Chris, you're doing it. You're the real deal, as is all the team down there, and your lovely wife, Colleen, your two children, and the whole crew. God bless you this weekend. Hope the gala goes well, and let's talk soon, and I hope we can get together again as soon as possible. Keep up the good work.
Hey, thanks a lot, John. Appreciate you and the effect that you've had on my life. I wouldn't be where I am without you. So, love you.
You're
all
great.
Right.
Well, love you too. God bless you. Thank you. So long. Chris Tress, president of Urban Youth Impact and a pastor of Bow Down Church. Check out their websites, Urban Youth Impact in West Palm Beach, Bow Down Church, also in West Palm. We do pray and wish them every blessing this weekend for their gala to make up some of the loss from the cancellations due to the pandemic. Tomorrow we're going to have my friend Dr. Reggie Zwanyika, the president of Ottawa University in Kansas and longtime friend from Zimbabwe. Friday we're going to have my co-author of The Leadership Carol, Dr. Jim Dittmar, on the show. And then we've got some good things lined up for next week. So I'm back. So thanks for your patience, and thanks to Chris Tress for his time today. Thanks to you for listening. And we're together again. You be about the work of finding your purpose in your life. And I'll be back with you again soon. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.